I was going to jump in and just say way too often, and one of the things that we're hoping to do is to raise women's awareness of the fact that there are far too many unnecessary cesarean sections going on in this country. Right now, about a third of all births are delivered by C-section. Some of those are medically necessary and important, but many, many of them are not. And we need for women to understand that if they're a low-risk pregnancy, there's rarely a reason for a C-section, and there are a number of reasons why you don't want one, because the outcomes tend to be less optimal for both the mom and the baby.
Why are we seeing this number of C-sections?
It's. I'll take that. I mean, this is Vidya from United Healthcare. It's hard to speak for other women, but I believe that a big driver is just lack of awareness and lack of good information. So, you know, in the past, we used to think that it was okay for women to deliver around 37 weeks. That was considered okay. But now we know that, you know, going through till the 40th week is, in fact, much, much better, because those last few weeks give the baby and the baby's body, you know, the chance to develop and mature some organs like the brain and the liver and the lungs and so on and so forth. So my belief is that, you know, with this sort of right information, women are not going to make the wrong choice, because if you know that, you know, organs take that long to mature, and in fact, 39 to 40 weeks, as recommended by the American College of Gynecology, is obstetrics and gynecology, is considered full term, I think women will make the, you know, the right choice. There are sometimes medical reasons, clinical reasons, to do with either the baby or the mother, where the physician might make the decision to deliver the baby early. And that's something, you know, that's a situation where the risks are weighed, pros and cons are weighed, and every measure is taken to ensure that there is risks are mitigated and the baby can be born healthy. But in most instances, like Deborah was saying, when there is little to no risk, if it's simply because of convenience that, you know, women are making the choice, we'd encourage them to consider the pros and cons. So there's quite a lot to be gained by continuing with the pregnancy through term, which is, again, up to 40 weeks, than delivering early. You asked the question about, you know, how many, and I too would have said what Deborah said. It's like many births that are taking place before 37 weeks, and it's interesting to note that planned births, where, you know, people are planning to deliver before 37 weeks, are actually accounting for half of births taking place before 37 weeks. So that tells you that at least half of it we can question and we can plan differently. You know, like, because sometimes babies need to be born early, but half the time it's a planned delivery, so this we can do much better.
Does the age of the mother play a factor into this at all?
It is a factor for sure, that in terms of, you know, so if you look at what causes prematurity or what causes a woman to go into labor early, very young mothers and older mothers tend to be at an increased risk. It's not to say that they will have a premature birth, but they are at risk. But that's where good prenatal care comes in. That's where partnership with your physician comes in, to know who you are and how you might carry a pregnancy and what can be done to make sure that not only are you healthy as the mother-to-be, but the baby is healthy and that you're working towards a full-term birth. So age does play a role, but it doesn't necessarily have to entail a preterm labor and preterm birth.
I see you developed something called the Baby Blocks program. Tell me how that plays into this and actually encourages good prenatal care.
So Baby Blocks was essentially a resource, a mobile-enabled resource that United Healthcare developed by listening to women who told us that, gosh, they don't know where to begin when they find out that they're pregnant. They are confused. They are overwhelmed. And they want to be more educated. They want to be in a much more informed position when they have discussions with the physician. So what we did was took all of that information and did a few things. One, we simplified the information that is placed in front of the mother, and we served it up in bite-sized chunks, if you will. It's very daunting to read everything and prepare for everything, and really you don't have to do that. So we created blocks that essentially allow the woman at every stage of the pregnancy in a personalized manner to understand what's coming next, what to expect at each appointment, how to follow through, and then once they complete the appointment, they in fact get to earn some fun rewards, you know, whether it's baby toys or safety equipment and things of that nature. But, you know, that combined with the fact that that resource can also be their point of connectivity to additional support and expert guidance, for instance, to learn about screening tests, lead screening, immune deficiencies, and also to get support around breastfeeding and lactation. So we created this app as a guidance, as a connectivity point into other resources as well. We have a ton of resources on our website, uhc.com. And the national partnership as well has a very rich program called childbirthconnection.org that, again, provides a lot of information, guidance, and quite importantly, also empowers women to ask the right questions, pick the right provider, know their rights with respect to work, so should they be employed, what to expect, what sort of leave are they eligible for, and so on. So there's quite a bit out there. Seek those resources, leverage them, and plan for a healthy pregnancy and delivery.
You know, there's a lot to learn, and there's also a lot of advocacy that goes on with that. And sometimes you may not have a family resource to rely on. There might not be another female or a grandparent or a mother to ask these questions. And if you feel alone, it doesn't turn out as well as it possibly could. So this gives the support out there regardless of their own situation.
Yes, Absolutely. And in fact, This is a time when women should not be afraid to ask for support. Coming home with a new baby can be quite a challenge. It's not unusual for women to feel anxious or depressed, but it's also a time when they are often afraid to admit that or reach out and ask for help. We would really like to encourage women to ask for help, talk to their healthcare provider, reach out to family and friends. It is a time when you do need and deserve support. We also think it's important for women to plan ahead, understand what they're entitled to from their employer in terms of time off from work or pay, what their state or local laws are with respect to family and medical leave and paid sick days, and to also know that it should be possible, if you have a healthy pregnancy, to work well into your pregnancy. And we are also trying to raise awareness among employers that sometimes there are reasons why women need a special accommodation, like extra restroom breaks or needing to carry a water bottle or to sit at their job instead of stand. Those are the kinds of things employers can do when somebody comes back from a health disability. Also the kind of thing that an employer should do in order to make sure that he or she is not discriminating against pregnant women and forcing them out of the workplace before time. So lots to learn. I encourage people to go to the website childbirthconnection.org.